Our second reading this afternoon comes from Isaiah chapter 11, the first 10 verses. This will also serve as our sermon text. A shoot will spring up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will be delighted with the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, nor will he render decisions based on what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and he will render fair decisions in favor of the oppressed on the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath from his lips he will put the wicked to death. Righteousness will be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his hips. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf, the young lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze together, and their young ones will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the cattle. The nursing child will play near a cobra's hole, and the weaned child will put his hand into a viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover over the sea. This is what will take place on that day. The peoples will seek the root of Jesse, who will be standing like a banner for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God's grace, his mercy, and his peace, these and so many other blessings, they are yours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your brothers and sisters in Christ. A group of friends and I used to maybe sometimes jokingly and sometimes not so jokingly, we had a phrase that we said with one another. And very often it would happen when something almost went wrong, but then it didn't quite go wrong. Maybe someone dropped something and they caught it, or someone fell and they caught themselves, or something bad was just about to happen, but it didn't quite happen. And we'd look at each other and we'd smile and we'd say, "Not today, Satan." We all worked at a summer camp together. It's Camp Philip in Wautoma, Wisconsin, probably our biggest camp we have in the Wells. And very often, if something would go wrong, this is what we'd say to each other, especially on weeks when we weren't counseling kids, when we'd have other jobs we'd have to do. Like one time we were walking across a bridge that's there at camp, and some of the wood on the bridge was a little uneven, and I tripped on it, and I fell, and I almost fell into the swamp, and I caught myself. And my friends were like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Not today, Satan." Another time, we had campers there over the 4th of July, and we had a fireworks show for them. And as we were getting the fireworks set and lighting them off, one of them accidentally fell by chance, and it pointed at all the campers. And one of my friends jumped in front of it, and all the sparks were happening in front of him, and he kicked it out of the way, and it flew off in the other direction so it didn't hit all the kids. And we all looked at each other like, "Whoa, are you okay?" He took a deep breath and he said, "Not today, Satan." And then one other time, one of the jobs we would have is we would have to cut wood because we had a lot of campfires. And me and two other of my friends, we were around our stumps where we had to put the wood. And we all had our axes, and we were splitting the wood for the fire that night. And we're talking, and we're enjoying conversation and laughing, and I didn't actually see it happen. It just happened behind me. As the conversation kind of dulled, all of a sudden, I just hear, "Whoa!" And I turn around, and I see one of my friends, and he's just holding a handle, and there's no axe head on it. And another one of my friends is standing there like this, and he dropped his axe. And I said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, I was swinging down. And as I swung down that time, the axe head just flew off. And then my other friend said, and it went like this right in front of my face. We all looked at each other. We were like, we okay? I said, yeah, we're okay. And then my friend just went, guys are going to be mad at me. And we were like, what? And he just goes, not today, Satan. Then we all laughed and we went on going with our jobs. But maybe do you feel like this? Or does Satan ever feel like this? When maybe Satan feels like he's about to win, when Satan feels like he's about to get something, when Satan feels like he's about to cut off what he needs to cut off, but he doesn't. As if God, right when it seems like calamity is about to strike, right when it seems like something bad is about to happen, right when it seems like Satan is going to win, God is there and he steps in front and he says, not today. Not today, Satan. It reminds me of Isaiah and the prophecies that Isaiah had to give. Prophecies like this one right away in Isaiah chapter 11, the first verse where he says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Now, there's a reason that Isaiah writes this. Because in the verse actually right before this section, you know what Isaiah writes about? He writes about God as if God is wielding this axe. And how there are these enemies of God who shake their fists at him, who hate him, who jeer at him. And what is God going to do? Well, it's as if they are trees. It's as if they are a forest and God is going to cut them all down. If you are God's enemy, if you are going to go against him, then he's taking that axe and he is turning you. If you think you are some beautiful tree, then he's turning you into a stump. And he's knocking you down so that you are left to nothing. And when you picture a stump, when you picture this tree, that's not much of a tree at all, isn't it? In fact, it's a dead tree. What can come from it? Nothing. And then Isaiah gets to this section where he also shows that God's judgment wasn't just for them, but it was also for the people of Judah. Where God wasn't going to just use the axe on the people there, he was going to use the axe on these people, even these people who claim to worship him, who claim to be in good standing with him. He was going to cut them down too. And he did this by sending the Assyrians, and the Assyrians come in and they nearly wipe out the people of Judah. Until Judah is cut down, what used to be this long line of kings, of warriors, what used to be this long line of power. You could picture this family tree that's happening here of all these great people of Judah. And it's cut down to nothing, to a stump. That's all it is. And that was God's judgment on them. And you wonder what Satan thought during all this. What was Satan thinking when God was enacting his judgment on his own people? Was he thinking, God, you fool? How could you do this? Didn't you say the Savior was going to come from the line of Judah and you're going to cut them off? You're going to turn them into a stump? God, you're making this too easy. Now I'm going to win through all of this, God, because if you can't send a Savior, there's going to be no salvation. And if you can't have salvation, if you can't save them, then I win, God. And you wonder, how many times did Satan have these thoughts? Did he know in the Garden of Eden that it was over then? Or was he thinking, no, I still have a couple of chances? When God tells Abraham that Abraham is going to be the father, is going to be the father of this Savior that's going to come from his line, was Satan thinking, he's an old man, God? Are you wrong in the head? How's he going to have a child? But yet God says, not today, Satan. A few generations later, There's Joseph and his brothers, and Judah is one of those brothers. And what do? They take Joseph and they sell him off into slavery. And then eventually they come back around and they find out that Joseph isn't dead. In fact, he's alive and he has the very power to kill them. And you're thinking, oh God, you're making this too easy. Is that what Satan's thinking? Joseph is going to take revenge on them, God. But God says, not today, Satan. When David falls into sin, and he's thinking, this is supposed to be the man after your own heart, God? This is supposed to be where the Savior is going to come from, God? But God says, not today. The Babylonians and the Assyrians, they take out Israel and Judah, and they turn Judah into nothing but a stump. And is Satan thinking that he's winning in all of this? Is Satan thinking that God isn't right in the head? Is Satan thinking that he's going to come out victorious in this? And are the people of Judah thinking the same thing? We used to be this great nation. And now we're being ruled over an aggressive and hurtful people. We used to have kings and lords, but now it seems like the Lord has turned his back on us. We used to be this great tree, and now we're nothing but a stump. Did they think Satan was winning? And during this Advent season, are you tempted to think that Satan is winning in your life? I don't have enough fingers on my hands to count the amount of times I've had teenagers and even not teenagers ask me what is even the point of praying if I know that I'm going to fall into this sin again. Does it feel like Satan is winning in your life when you go back to that pet sin that you don't want to do, but you keep going back to it? Or even during this Christmas time, this Advent time, how there can be good things, how there can be all these celebrations and this family time and these worship services and we all get together, but sometimes do you get to feel like, man, this is kind of a lot. I'm not even thinking about Jesus anymore. I'm not even thinking about Christ. I'm not even thinking about the baby in the manger. I'm just thinking about how can I make my parents happy and my family happy and my kids happy so that they have presents and so that I can give them food and all these other things, and I got to attend all these services, and I'm not even focused on these things, God. And then in these moments when Advent and Christmas, when it's time to actually slow down and reflect, but we're doing the opposite, we're just speeding up and flying on into the new year, does it feel like Satan's winning then? And do you feel just cut down? Like a stump? Like a tree that is nothing but dead? Is that how you feel? But you know what's beautiful about what Isaiah has to say? And you know what's amazing about this picture that God paints through Isaiah? Is that while this tree, this stump, while it looks dead, while it looks like it's nothing, while it's just cut down, he says a shoot is going to come from this stump. It's going to be a branch. And what does that mean? It means that it's not dead. There is still life. This tree may not be this tree of grandeur and excellence and magnificence as it once was. Maybe it doesn't look that way, but God doesn't look at things the way man looks at things. God looks at things his own way. God looks at the heart, and God looks at what you and I need. And what did we need? That branch. That branch that grew out of a dead tree. Because Joseph and Mary were descendants of David, but were they kings and queens? No. Just a lowly virgin and a carpenter. They weren't this grand tree. They were just a stump. And yet God uses this stump to bring about the Savior, to bring about Jesus Christ, to bring about the salvation of the world, as if Satan is thinking, I've got him now, and the tree is down, and God says, not today, Satan. Because this is who God is, and this is what God does. Look throughout the Bible. Look throughout Scripture. See the pages. See the words. See the account. See what happens when something bad happens and God takes it and he changes it. How God takes Joseph, and instead of Joseph enacting his revenge on his brothers, he actually forgives his brothers, and the line of the Savior through Judah is alive. He takes David, and David has sinned in these many ways, and he brings David to repentance and changes his heart and brings him back close to him and close to his heart. He takes St. Paul, the Apostle Paul, and changes him, who's once persecuting Christians, and says, not today, Satan. And he turns him into this incredible missionary and apostle. But best of all, he takes Jesus, who was born in Nazareth, and who cares about Nazareth? Who's just a carpenter's son, and who cares about these carpenters? Who's not teaching a bunch of Pharisees and teachers of the law? No, he's leading around a bunch of fishermen. But what does God do? He says, watch this. Not today, Satan. And he takes maybe the most horrific picture for the ancient people of crucifixion, and he changes it into a symbol of hope for you and for me. Because what that stump was a tree. Even if it was cut down, and it was a tree of promise, the promise that it doesn't end here, the promise that it ends there, that sin ends on the cross. And proof of that is in that stump with the branch coming out of it. The proof of that is in the manger with the hay and the baby inside of it. The proof of that is with the cross and the nail still sticking out of it. And the proof of that is in the grave and no one's inside of it. That's the proof of God's love. That's the proof of God's plan. That's a God who takes things and he changes them. And even when Satan may think that he's winning, even when Satan thinks that he's got him, God says no, because I don't break my promises. Not today, Satan. And you know what his promise is for you? That you are forgiven, that you are loved, that he knows you, that he cares about you, and that Satan will not prevail. And that's his message for you. That's his promise for you. That's his love for you. Not today, Satan. As if God looks at Satan with a scowl, and yet he looks at you with a smile and with open arms. And to both you and to him, he says, I promise. Amen. And may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and lives through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.